Hello, everyone. I came tonight with a lot of notes on a paper to share just how the Lord's guided me and directed me and just driven my life and pushed my life in the direction of Sicily and in the direction of Brother Sal Galeotto and his family for ministry. And Lord willing, I'll get to it. But excuse me, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I can't express it. I can't explain it. I have to start with just by saying thank you to Him publicly in front of everyone, and just setting the course straight and setting the truth straight that everything that's transpired in my life in the past 6 years since I've been fellowshipping here in First Bible has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has absolutely everything to do with just the faithfulness of God. It doesn't make any sense to me how faithful He is. And the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the love of God and the power of God and His grace. I don't know how the story's going to go and how I'm going to say it, if everything's going to be out of order or how I'm going to eventually get to Sicily, but just to start where my heart is right now, when on the drive over here with my dad, I just began to weep. I don't know how many times I've actually cried in front of my father, but tonight might have been the first, or tonight might have been, I don't know, the most for sure. But I've been praying and asking the Lord and reading and studying and searching my heart and asking God what to say to the church tonight all day since early this morning. Just trying to recount everything that the Lord's done in my life in the past 6 years or since 2002, since I've been saved, even my whole life. And just trying to get the thoughts straight in my own mind so that I can kind of give an account of everything that the Lord's done for me and done in my life and how He's guided me. But on the way here, my dad said he was praying for me in the car, and he said he opened up the Bible and the Lord just drew him into Psalm 119. And so he was reading that, and then when he turned on his CD player, that's also what was on his CD player, Alexander Scorby reading Psalm 119 out loud. And so I got in the car and we started to come over here, and that psalm is playing in the car. Now, Alexander Scorby, him reading the scriptures just could bring me to tears, because it brings me right back to day one when my relationship started with the Lord. It just brings me back to day one in my car when I used to drive around and I was brokenhearted and the Lord took me from the pit where I came from and helped me. And just him reading the psalms, and I would just listen to the psalms over and over again. So to just hear that man's voice reading Psalm 119 out loud when I got in the car with my dad, I couldn't do anything but just cry the whole way here. And overwhelmed with where he took me from. And there are young men in this church that I began to fellowship with in 2007 when I first started coming here that could testify that Psalm 119 has a special place in my heart. And when I get together at 3 in the morning with them, I usually want to read that chapter. It takes like an hour to read it. It's so long. But it was just a reminder. You know, I searched my heart all night, just remembering the scriptures that have brought me to the place where I'm at. And Psalm 119 just skipped my mind. How it could be, it's impossible, because those verses were instrumental in getting me on my feet and just in everything, just building my relationship with the Lord. But the Lord had me forget so that I would be overwhelmed in that car when I heard Alexander Scorby reading it. And the Lord just changed the direction of how I wanted to go tonight and what I wanted to say tonight. And so before I get to the details with Sicily and before I get to any of the details of how He's led me, I just have to thank him publicly in front of everyone. I have to thank him. I have to thank him. I have to thank him. And I have to just say thank you. I have to praise him. I have to worship him. I have to honor him in front of everyone publicly. Because what he's done for me doesn't make any sense. What he's done in my life and the things he's done for me and in me and through me, it doesn't. None of it makes sense. It's often said here from this pulpit that if you could explain it, God didn't do it. And I can't explain everything that he's done in my life. I can't explain it. In the car when I was listening to Psalm 119, I couldn't do anything but just weep as the verses that I've memorized and hid in my heart and that have helped me and done everything for me. The power in these words, the beauty in these words, as I heard them just recited, I couldn't just do anything but weep. And I made up my mind in the car on the way here that I wasn't going to say anything about Sicily unless we read Psalm 119 as a church family, just everyone. And you don't have to stand because it's long, but if you wouldn't mind, if we could just read it all out loud. Because if I don't honor and praise his word tonight, then I haven't done anything. Because truth be told, without the words of this book, I'd be no one and nobody. And that's everyone in here. It's this one book that's changed all of our lives. It's changed my life. It's changed my life. And it's changed every blessing I have has come through this book and the words in it and these words getting in my heart and affecting me and changing me. No one in this room would like the real Stefano. All right, if you just knew me without God, okay, if you just knew me without the Word of God, you know, I get a lot of people say to me, you're a blessing, brother. But I want to get back to the truth tonight that I'm nothing because I was reminded tonight where he took me from and who I used to be and who I am now because of him. And if we could just read it together. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, or forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also, my delight and my counselors. Soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts.
so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him, reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and not to shame. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have hid great in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself.
Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law.
This I have, because I have kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted and went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, that I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have big pits for me, which are not after thy law. All the commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They have almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. Teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live,
and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved, and I will respect unto thy statutes continually.
Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cry unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and cried, I am hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Consider thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction, and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause, and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice that thy word is won upon me as great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee to thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee, and deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and shall praise thee, and thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments.
So I owe everything to this book. I owe everything to the author of this book. And any good or anything that's ever gotten done has just been because of this. And really behind anything that's materialized in my life, it started with just me and God and me crying out before Him and hanging on to one of these promises. And so I stand here tonight and I'm just amazed that exactly like His Word says, when you trust Him, when you trust something that this book says, that He said in here, He really will bring it to pass. He really has the power to do that. You don't have to put your ugly hands on it and manipulate things. You just trust Him and you pray and you hang on to these words and you put them in your heart. And I've seen Him do the impossible. And I've seen Him do the impossible over and over and over and over again. And so I guess I'll start at the beginning. I mean, some people know me in here and some people don't. But I'll try and be quick and just pray that the Lord... Let me open up with a word of prayer that the Lord would guide me and just... So that I'd say what I'm supposed to say and not say what I'm not supposed to say. Because it's impossible to say everything. Father in heaven, I thank You for this moment in time. Lord, thank You for being so faithful. Thank You, Lord, that Your faithfulness does not depend upon our faithfulness, Lord. That You're good to sinners like us. Lord, thank You that bringing me to this place, Lord, thank You for saving my soul. Lord, thank You for my family. Thank You for the friends that You've given me, Lord. The life that You've given me. The life and the breath and all things. I thank You for this church family, Father. And I want to be a blessing tonight to my brethren. I want to be an encouragement, Lord. I want to say something from Your word tonight. Just a word of exhortation. I just want to show them, Lord. I want to show publicly, Father, the great things that You've done for me. And all I want to do is just give You praise and honor tonight and glorify You. So I pray, Lord, that You would get all the glory and honor for what's said. And I just ask You, Lord, that You'd fill me with Your Spirit and just give me the words to say, I pray. Be with my thoughts, Lord. Be with my memory. Be with everything, Father, tonight. I pray that You'd soften the soil of everyone's hearts, that the Word of God, Lord, would profit them, would be a blessing to them. And I just pray for everyone in this room tonight, Father. Everyone's got different things going on in their lives, different burdens that they're carrying, Lord. Everyone in this room has prayers on their heart, Lord, that they lift up to You daily. And I just pray, Lord, that You'd give them Your best answer in every prayer. Lord, I pray that You'd answer them all in Your time, Lord. And I've learned that. I've learned to wait on You, Lord, and to be patient. And I've seen, Lord, that just because You don't answer right away doesn't mean that You're not going to answer. And Lord, it's right. The evidence is right in front of my face tonight. And Father, I love You. Thank You for everything that You've done, Lord. Thank You. I don't deserve not one thing that You've done for me. And I just want to thank You, Lord. And I love You tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I'll start with how I got saved and how did I ever get to the place where I had a Bible in my life, or how I came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. I went to Monsignor Farrell High School on Staten Island, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, always with a strong faith in God, never any doubts in my mind as to Jesus Christ or anything. But there came a point in my life when I was in high school. I was a sophomore. That I doubted, for whatever reason, God's existence. And at that moment in time, the Lord just, now I know it's the Lord, but it drove me to kind of get to the bottom of things, to kind of search it out for myself. Can I know that there's a God? Can I know that it's all real? Or am I just believing in something that's not true at the end of the day? And so I began searching. I began talking to my religion teacher after school every day in Farrell, and my testimony of salvation is in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there, if you have a Bible. But just in short, I got saved because the Lord's faithful to His Word. In Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 7. I began to seek and to search after God, and it was maybe a month maximum that somebody put a King James Bible in my hand from this church. Somebody that went to this church. Not even one person, two separate people that belonged to this church put a King James Bible in my hand just 4 weeks after I started looking for God. I was 17 years old. So in 17 years, there was plenty of time for that to happen. So it wasn't a coincidence that it was given to me right when my heart turned toward the Lord. And that's true for everyone. If someone wants to know if there's a God, they just got to cry out in their heart and want to know. And you just wait and you just search and God will show Himself. If God's not big enough to reveal Himself, then He's not a God worth believing in. And so in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you." Shall be opened. "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" So my heart was crying out. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know the truth. So why would he withhold that from a person? Why would he have withheld that from me? Not even 4 weeks went by, and my math and physics teacher, instead of talking, and you know him, Andrew Monti, many of you know him in this room, instead of talking about math and physics that day, he just spoke about the Bible from the start of class to the end of class, within 3 weeks of me searching. And so I went up to him after class, and I said, "I didn't know you knew anything about the Bible, and I have a lot of questions." And to make a long story short, there was another friend of mine that I had in the school. We had thrown the shot put and discus together my freshman year. So I was kind of out of touch with him for about a year and a half, because he wasn't on the track team anymore. But I knew him then, and he wasn't a godly man or a Christian man or at all. He wasn't interested in God, nothing like that. But I guess in that year and a half that we had lost touch, he had gotten in touch with the Lord. And so him and Andrew Monti knew each other, and I guess they had fellowship together and everything. So Monti told Joe about me. Joe Romano, many of you also remember him from the church, told Joe. He's like, "Oh, I know Stefano." So he went and spoke to me in a classroom after school one day. But it just, like, the Lord rose up my teacher and like a friend of mine to give me the truth of that. Long story short, I left with the Bible that day. I went home and started reading it. And after reading the Gospel of John, just to read through myself, after I stumbled through the these and the thous and everything else, it took me like a week to get through the Gospel of John. But then this thing about salvation through Christ and made sense. Everything he was saying to me in that classroom, so it clicked. So that was December 2002 that I got saved. And I started reading the Bible, instantly fell in love with the Lord, instantly fell in love with the Scriptures. I couldn't get enough of them. There were Bible studies going on in Monsignor Farrell High School. And all before you knew it, there was one and another one, another one, another one, to the point where there was 12 of us all with our desks around in a circle and just praying and reading the Word of God after school, unbeknownst to the principal or anybody else. But it was just something that started happening. And so like wildfire, people were being attracted to this Bible study. And I was having the time of my life. And I'd go home and literally read the Bible like 4, 5, 6 hours a night. Just couldn't get enough of it. Filled with the joy of God. Couldn't really explain why it made me so happy or anything, but it just did. And I know most in this room understand that. But then something happened. That was probably like 6 months worth of that. Brother Monti got convicted that we shouldn't really be holding these Bible studies in the school, so we moved them to here. So we started meeting everybody from Farrell in the basement here in Fellowship Hall, started having our studies here, and it was just, you know, it was a beautiful time, just a beautiful time in my life, a beautiful time of fellowship with Brother Joe Romano and others. Mark Bennett was a part of those things and other brethren. Now, what happened next was something crept into my life. Not a grievous sin that started pushing the Bible away from me, but something crept into my life that just started taking up my free time. So my Bible reading went from 5 hours to 3 hours to 2.5 hours to an hour to a half hour to a couple chapters. And I'll say a lot of things. I'll try and be as much of a glass house as I can tonight, just for the sake of edification, just to help someone else in the room with things that God's done in my life and just the things that I've experienced. I know that every time Pastor Dean or anyone from this pulpit shares personal things from their lives, and they allow us to see into things that, you know, they didn't have to share those details with us, But every time they do it, it always helps me. It's always exactly what I need to hear. And there's always something going on in my mind, and it increases my faith. And it's like, you know what? I'm not alone. There are others that are going through the same stuff. So something silly. When I was a kid growing up, I was extremely, and it's hysterical that my brother's in the back of the room, I was extremely into video games growing up. And right around the time, exactly the time that I started reading the Bible and was filled with joy and into all that, a friend of mine from high school came over to my house and introduced a video game to me that my brother knows which one I'm talking about, and I started playing that an hour a day, and then 2 hours a day, and then 4 hours a day, and then 12 hours a day, ashamed to admit, or whatever it is. But I fell in love with that game. And me and my brothers and my friends would just play it all the time. And now, is there something grossly sinful about video games? Well, when it took me away from my Bible. So it was a weight. It was a distraction. And something innocent, it was something innocent at first, but, you know, I wasn't faithfully coming to church then. I would just pop in and out of Wednesday night Bible studies. Had never even been to a Sunday morning here. And so, and never really made close Christian friends. So as my Bible, yeah, because you read the Bible 6 hours a day in your house, you're going to be strong. You're going to be strong. Nothing's going to knock your faith down. But you know what? When that video came in, that Bible reading went down and down and down and down and down. I wasn't faithfully coming to church. So before I knew it, my faith was, it wasn't gone as far as my faith in the Lord, but my taste and my love for the scriptures and for the things of God was gone. And that, it went away. Now turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. This is a big part of my testimony, because if this one particular thing were different, I would have never went astray in the beginning. It would have never happened. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 9 to 12. Remember I said I hadn't made close Christian friends yet. So when I stopped reading the Bible and I wasn't here on a Wednesday night, there was nobody calling me. There was nobody looking for me, because I just hadn't got plugged in yet, hadn't got connected yet. The same way if you work out and you have a gym partner, me and my brother Danny used to work out 6 days a week together, and when I didn't feel like going, he'd be jumping on my bed in the morning, blasting my radio, waking me up, and saying, get out of bed, because we're going to the gym. And without that, together, we were extremely successful in the gym for like probably 2 years straight. But you need someone else. You can't do it alone. Because there's going to be days when you don't feel like doing it, and you need someone to push you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth. I fell and I was alone. I didn't have another one to pick me up. It's exactly what happened. And so, you know, I knew some of you in the beginning when I came here in early 2003. I'd come into Bible studies. I knew some of you, but never, not like I know you now, obviously. I was coming to church and loving the Bible, but I still kept all my old friends. You know what the Bible says? It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And you have to choose your friends wisely, because your friends they encourage you to be like they are. And if your friends are in church and doing the right thing and trying to serve God, then you're going to want to do the right thing and try and serve God. And if your friends are playing video games, your friends are doing something else, then that's what you're going to want to do. It's just natural. It's just life. It's just the way that things work. So I would encourage anyone in here who haven't made Christians, who have a desire in their heart to serve God, your primary company, pray about that. Pray about that. Consider doing that. Because that, it seems like something innocent. Oh, a couple of video games. It took me out of my race. It took me out of serving God for 4.5 years. 4.5 years on a video game. So for the next 4.5 years of my life, I didn't deny, reject the faith and, denounce Christ or anything like that. I still had the same beliefs. But I wasn't doing anything for the glory of God. And everything that I was doing and spending my time on was really, at the end of the day, vain and vanity and not worth anything at the end of the day. 100 years from now, no one would care about what I was doing. So really, I spent 4.5 years just living for myself and just doing what everyone does. Nothing overly crazy sinful, but just doing what everyone does. Living life the way that we all know how to do it. We all know how to live. Without this book, everyone will just go back to normal. Without this book. We all know how to live life. We're inherently sinners. We're like Adam. We're not like Jesus Christ. We're all selfish. We're not selfless. We're all just doing things for number one. And so that's the way that I lived for 4.5 years. And the next thing I want to talk about is the chastening of God, the chastening of the Lord. If you're familiar with the Bible, the Bible says not to despise that, not to despise the chastening of the Lord. And go with me to, now I'm going to spend a fair amount of time on this, Lord willing, but the reason for that is because without the chastening of the Lord, just like we took the time to read Psalm 119, was that filler? Was that a waste of time? Absolutely not. I literally was overwhelmed on the way here that without this book, I'm nothing. Without these promises in here, I wouldn't be standing here. If I didn't have a Bible to cry into when I was in misery 4.5, 6 years ago now, during that time, when I started reaping the fruit of my ways, when I thought that I knew better than God, that I thought that, I know how to live my life. I don't need your advice, God. I started reaping the results of that. And you know what? I found myself heartbroken because I didn't listen to what the Bible says about how to conduct your life. And so I'm going to spend a lot of time on the chastening of God also, because without the chastening of the Lord, no one in this room would know me. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be. And I certainly wouldn't have done anything for the glory of God and made any kind of a difference in the kingdom of God or any kind of a difference, a positive difference in this world, to try and bring people to their God, to bring people, draw people to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be doing any of that if it wasn't for the chastening of the Lord. So I'm going to spend a lot of time on it, and I don't think it's vain, because I have to, because it made the difference. It made the difference in me. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes in a fool's back. And I did have a Christian friend that lived in Rhode Island, and he tried to give me advice about the way that I was living my life was not really according to the scriptures. And I was like, I know those verses, but I'm just going to, I know, but it'll turn out differently. I'll pray about it and God will work it out. So I wasn't without witness. Someone tried to tell me, but he trusted. That was God giving me a gentle reproof, just giving me some advice. The Bible says that with a fool, see, a wise man will learn by hearing, just by learning by advice. Somebody gives you advice about something. But a fool needs to get 100 stripes pounded into his back. He needs to learn the hard way. And so I learned the hard way. I mean, God had to shake me up a little bit. God had to shake my life up a little bit to get my attention. Now, did I like it at first? Absolutely not. Was I a little upset with God? Absolutely. But in the end, I could do nothing but I'll praise him and praise his name forever for doing it. And because he saved me, you know what he saved me from? I was already on the way to heaven. He saved me from a life of complete vanity. At the end of my life, you could just put a big stamp on it and said, nil, counted nothing for eternity. And you know that I used to be in bed at night? Because I had learned some things in those 6 months that I was walking with the Lord in the beginning and being in this church. I used to come in this church and sit downstairs on Wednesday nights and right in the middle of Pastor's Mystery of Iniquity study. And I used to pop in and out. And so I had learned some things, and I knew about the rapture. I knew that the Lord's coming back for his church. And I knew that trumpet was going to sound one day. We were going to go back to live with him. I used to be up at night, and I used to just pray deep down in my heart. I was like, Lord, I know I'm not doing the right thing. I know I'm not doing what you'd have me to do. I know I'm not in your will. I know I'm really not doing anything for you to say thank you for dying for me. And the least I could do is live my life for you. And I knew that. And I used to dread hearing the sound of that trumpet. I used to pray and say, Lord, just give me more time. Give me more time. I want to get on my feet one day. I want to live for you one day. I do. And I used to pray that prayer. In the midst of just me living my life the way that I did, I would still open up the Bible here and there and read Proverbs and read things. And I would pop in, maybe every couple of months, I'd pop into a Wednesday night Bible study and absolutely love it, come for 3 weeks, and then leave again. Just because, again, I didn't have any friends here. That's important. I can't stress it enough. If you don't get connected in with other brothers and sisters, people in this room, you'll never make it. You cannot do it because the whole world is against you. The devil's against you. The whole world is trying to get you to walk the opposite direction. And guess what? So are you. You have an enemy within. It's you naturally don't want to follow God. So you need help. So I would pop in here and I would feel guilty that I would come in for 3 weeks and then leave for 6 months and then pop in. I would always feel guilty, but I would come in anyway and just the chastening of the Lord. I used to pray at night. In the midst of that time, those 4.5 years, I would pray. And that's why the power of prayer is unbelievable. Don't ever hesitate to throw up a prayer to God. If you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing right now and you want to be doing better, but you literally don't know how, just pray anyway. Say, Lord, tell him that. I don't know how to change my life. I don't know how to serve you better. I don't know how to trust you with my whole life. Just be like, Lord, I'd like to get there. Would you help me? And just forget about it. He didn't forget about that prayer. I could recall times in those 4.5 years where I'd literally, after reading some Proverbs, I would get down on my knees and lean on my bed and say, Lord, I know I'm not doing the right thing. Please, before I die, please make me wise. Give me some wisdom before I see you face to face. Would you please get me on the right track? Now, if I would have taken steps toward that and came to church and just, you know, done that whole thing, that would have happened a lot faster than 4.5 years. But the Lord didn't despise those prayers, but because I was a fool and I needed 100 stripes in my back, it took 4.5 years and him kind of creating a little bit of a disaster in my life where that left me heartbroken, where I was such a mess. My family, my friends, nobody knew what to do for me. And, you know, to the point where, you know, you could ask the testimonies of maybe coworkers, of family members and stuff like that. It was, looking back on it now, really wasn't something big, but to me it was everything at the time, and it really hurt me. It hurt me deep. It hurt me hard. And I just thank the Lord that, you know, when something happens to you, you really do have two choices when heartache comes in your life. You could say, and I almost did this. I was sitting in Wagner College in the back of my English class, and I remember like it was yesterday. I know exactly what seat I was in, and the meditations of my heart, my thought process was, I'm in a lot of pain right now, and I don't know which way to go. I don't know how to handle this. And I was going to say, I was thinking, reasoning in my own heart and saying, you know, if you can't beat this world, just join it. It's like the world that beat me up. And just like, I was about to just say, you know what, if you can't beat them, join them and just go down that road and figure out a way for me to forget about the pain and for me to, you know, just fix it myself, you know, self-help, you know, this and that. And I was just going to go hanging with my friends and just doing everything to have temporary fun to forget about the pain and get over what I was going through. But you know that the mercy of God, the mercy of God, you know, people look at Stefano and they say, oh, he's a blessing. He's a man of God. He's this, he's that. Do you know the mercy of God, the road that I almost took, that fork in the road? Absolutely nothing to do with me. I didn't know enough at the time to know the right way to go. The Lord literally constrained me. He literally pulled me and said, no, Stefano, go this way. Go this way. And just brought me to my knees. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to serve you, but I can't do it. You need to help me. You need to make this burden a little bit lighter. And you need to just help me because I can't do it. Do you know that when I used to talk to Fran Kruppi about this. And, you know, you would call her on the phone and she would answer and say, praise the Lord. That's how she would answer the phone at home. And I called her and I said, Fran, I said, you know, of course, everyone knows God answers prayer. But I asked her and I said, does God answer prayer? You know, will he really answer my prayer? Because I'm having a real tough time and I need the supernatural almighty hand of God to reach down from heaven and just take this burden that I'm carrying off of my shoulders. And because I can't walk, I want to walk. I want to start walking with God now, but I can't. I don't have the strength to get up. So I said, will God answer a prayer like that? You know, and she's like, absolutely, Stefano. Of course he will. Of course he's able to supernaturally take a burden off of you and get you on your feet. Of course he's willing to do something like that. And that helped me tremendously. So I just know exactly where I was in the basement of my mom's house. Just close the door like the Bible says, enter into thy closet and pray to thy father, and thy father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I just locked myself in the basement bathroom in my mom's house, just collapsed before the Lord, tears, just asking the Lord, would you help me get on my feet? If you could explain that God didn't do it, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Literally, I felt lighter. Instantaneously, I got up off my feet and it was just like, it was gone. Instant strength. It was to this day, it was the fastest, I think, answer to the prayer I ever received in my life. Instantaneous strength to just get up. I don't know. I can't even explain it. And so that happened. That happened without any doubt in my mind. I know exactly what happened. Let me just go through a few verses in the Bible of just the chasing of the Lord. I'll say a couple. I'll have you turn to a couple. In Revelation chapter 3, you know, when you're a child, God loves everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God loves everyone. He doesn't just love the saints. He just doesn't love the saved. He loves everyone. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's no respect of persons with God. But you know what? When you are a Christian and you are a child of God, you do have something special about you that the world around you doesn't have. And that's that you're his son. You're his child. You're his child. God is your father. When you accept God's son as your savior and you trust him with all your soul for the salvation of your soul, God the Father adopts you. He makes you his own. He makes you his child. That's why Christians talk about this phrase, born again. That doesn't mean you turned over a new leaf and you became a maniac and you're a psychopath now. It means that you literally were born of God's Spirit and became his child. You're his son and you're his daughter. So as a son and daughter of God, you have something about you that the world doesn't around you have. In Revelation chapter 3, it says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus said that to a church in the book of Revelation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what the truth is? When you're God's child, he corrects you like any mother or father would correct their child if they're doing something that's completely unacceptable. And so that's the way God works, and that's what God did for me. See, I was his child, and I had gotten lost. Like the last verse in Psalm 119, you know what that verse says? It says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Seek thy servant. I can't remember the end of it. I will read it though. Psalm 119. This is what God does for his children. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So God, Jesus Christ, went after me. He went after me. And you know what? When my face was down in the mud and the decisions I'd made in life blew up in my face, he didn't rub my face in the mud and say, you know what? Ha ha, you finally got your own. Yeah, there was some pain I had to endure, but he only did it to make me better. Like any father or mother, if they either reprimand their child, it's not because they don't love their, it's because they love their child that they reprimand them. And they say, no, that's not the way to do things. You got to do it this way. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 we're going to read. And I want to just spend a little time here, and we'll do like a tiny little Bible study, because I said it once, I'll say it again. The only reason why I'm standing here is, number one, because of Calvary, yes. And number two, because my Father loves me and chastened me and didn't let me continue down the road that I was going and just had so much better things in mind for me. So many better things in mind for me. See, God has a life and a plan and a purpose for everyone in this room. That's way better than the plan and the purpose you have for yourself. And so it really comes down to, you have to trust him and say, Lord, okay, I'm going to let go of my plans. And how could his plans not be better? You're going to be happier in the will of God than out of the will of God. Bottom line, it might take some time. It took a couple of years. It took years for this to really lead to this moment for me. But there's no doubt about that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. It says, now this is Solomon writing, King David's son. He asked the Lord for wisdom. So there's no man on the earth that has more wisdom than the man about to speak. He knows God. He's got the wisdom of God in him. And there's been no one wiser since, except for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said a greater than Solomon's here. But the man who's talking right now knows what he's talking about. He was a king. Okay? He was the richest man in the world that ever lived. Until this day. And so he wasn't just a no one saying this. This is a man of power and of great authority, great wealth. The person speaking here is worthy of listening to. And obviously on top of that, it's the Spirit of God speaking through him. But verse 11 and 12, it says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. And so, and without that, I wouldn't be here right now. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. See, he, as a loving father, allowed the things I was doing to blow up in my face. And I never anticipated ever experiencing that much pain. You know, you think that the things you toy around with that are contrary to really the way God has said, no, I know how to live. I did create you. I did make the world. I made the heavens. I know how this life's supposed to be lived. This is the way. Some people say that, you know, the Bible, the acronym is, you know, the basic instructions before leaving earth. But it's not basic. It's comprehensive. It's thorough. The Bible tells you really how you're supposed to live in every way, shape, or form. But I never thought that those things I was playing around with would ever have blown up in my face like that. I didn't see it coming. Not at all. And, you know, people say from, I've heard from this pulpit, I've heard other preachers say it, I have no idea who it originates with, but people have said that sin will take you farther than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay and cost you more than you ever thought you'd pay. It costs you, and sin is that way. Sin, we think that we play around with it, but it really plays around with us. It's absolutely the truth. I learned the hard way. I didn't think that way at first. But Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, it says this. It says, withhold not correction. It's an advice to a mother or father. It says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. So, it's not natural. There's no way it's natural that a parent, we'll read a couple of verses later, but I don't believe that a parent enjoys causing pain to their child. Absolutely not. But Solomon's saying that a child needs that. And the Lord did it for me. See, the Lord did it for me because I needed it. If you go to Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 15. It says, see, I was a child of God. I was. But look what this says. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. I'm not a parent. I don't understand that verse. I don't. But for those who are parents in here, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. That's got to be tough for a parent to do. Do you know how much I cried when the chasing of the Lord came into my life in the beginning? Do you know how many tears I shed? Do you know how much pain I was going through? You know how many day and night I just cried out to God for relief? Knowing now the loving heart of God, do you know how hard it probably was for God to restrain himself from taking that pain away from me instantaneously? But as a loving father, he let me go through it and go through it. I literally, for 6 months to a year, was just in pain. And my brother and sister-in-law are sitting back there. In the beginning, I was so upset, I didn't sleep at home. I slept in their house. One time I slept in their bed. So, at the foot of their bed, all right, that makes it better. So, but but it had to be hard for God to see me go through that. But he didn't take it away at first, because if he took that pain away from me too early, I wouldn't have learned my lesson. So he had to let me go through it. He had to. And I didn't understand it at the time. I really, truly didn't. I was never really mad at God, but I was a little bit upset. I didn't understand why it had to be that way. Now I do. Because it was the only way that he could get the point across, the only way he could have taught me. Go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Just a couple more verses on this. Proverbs 29, 15. But, and I'm dwelling on it a long time. Like, I read Psalm 119, and it's a tremendous, it seemed longer tonight than ever, by the way, reading it as a church. Chris Spinelli gets mad at me all the time because every time we hang out, I always ask him to read that chapter before we leave, and we've done it a couple times. But in Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Remember what I used to pray to the Lord? Throughout those 4.5 years, I used to get on my knees and say, Lord, please make me wise before I die. Please don't let me finish my Christianity this way. Before that trumpet sounds, before I see you face to face, I don't want to be ashamed in front of you. Look what this says. The rod and reproof give wisdom. So I asked for wisdom and the Lord gave me the rod. I wouldn't have prayed for it if I would have known. But it says, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If God would have left me going that way without causing some pain, in the end, it would have been a nightmare. It would have been a nightmare. Look at verse 17. It says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Do you know that God, my Father up in heaven, was looking down and saying, I have such amazing plans for this guy, my son. I have such amazing things. I have a purpose for his life. I have things I'd like to see him do and things I'd like to... And I was just on the wrong path. I was going to miss it altogether. The day He created me, He had something in mind for me. And He has something in mind for you. And I wasn't on that path. I wasn't going that direction. So He couldn't have had any rest sitting up on His throne, knowing that I was going in the wrong direction. He couldn't have had any delight knowing that I was missing His best. So it says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight. He shall give delight unto thy soul. And when a Christian gets back in the will of God after being out of it, do you know you put a smile on God's face big time? Do you know you put a smile on your Heavenly Father's face? What does it say in one of the epistles of John? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know that God is filled with joy when He sees His children walking in truth. And that's what the correction of God did for me. And you don't have to turn there, but Ecclesiastes in that book, in 7 verse 3, it says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. And God puts us in sorrow sometimes, and I don't understand it, and I know for a fact that no one in this room understands it, some of the sorrow that God does allow in people's lives. The Bible says that that sorrow is able to make your heart better if that sorrow draws you to God. Do you know what I was doing when I was going through all that pain? You know, my mom didn't know how to help me. My family didn't know how to help me. My friends didn't know how to help me. And, you know, my mom literally was like thinking, you know, what do we do for him? Do we slip a pill inside of his food like at night, you know, to, you know, depression or something like that? Like, they just didn't know what to do. But do you know what I was doing behind the closed door in my room? I would go in my room after work every night and I would just cry into this book. And I would just read this book. I'd read the Psalms and I'd read the Proverbs and I'd read the Gospels. And I would see Jesus Christ help every single person that was down and comfort everyone that was down. And literally I had the single greatest moment in my life up to this point was in my room during this time. I became so overwhelmed with Jesus Christ and His love for me, how much He loved me because He was in that room with me. He literally put His arms around me and hugged me. It's as if I felt it. And tears never flowed down my face more than that day. It's the single greatest moment in my life so far. And just the nearness to the Savior. And it was by reading through the Gospels and seeing Him. And then He came in that room and was with me and comforted me. And how could I trade that for all the sorrow in the world? You know, the sorrow didn't last forever. And no sorrow will last forever. The Bible ends. People from this pulpit say it all the time. I know how the story ends. I know how the Bible ends. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. But God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And that's the end of the story. But in the meantime, it's meant to draw us to Him. And we will never understand it all, but He understands it all. The last one I'll read is Proverbs 28:23. Proverbs 28:23, the last one in the book of Proverbs. And this is my testimony. You know, I was mad at God at first, but see, God knew better. God knew that I'd appreciate it in the end. God knew that. And it says in Proverbs 28:23, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. And you know what? God rebuked me. God set me straight. He showed me what you're doing is wrong. That was the wrong direction you were going. And at first, God didn't find any favor with me by doing that to me, for allowing that in my life. But afterwards, absolutely, I'll praise Him forever. I told you already, for doing that. Because I remember the moment that it actually dawned on me, and I got on my hands and knees in my room, and I said, you know what? I finally get it. It took like a couple months. I get it. I said, you did this to spare me for a life wasted. You did it so that I wouldn't be I wouldn't regret my life when I got to heaven, the way that I spent it and the way that I lived it. And at that moment, I was like, thank you, 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 on my hands and knees in my room. And go to Hebrews chapter 12. This is probably the most famous portion of Scripture on the chastening of the Lord. And I have no idea what time it is. I have no idea how long I'm taking. Please someone stop me if I preach until midnight. But and I haven't even gotten to Sicily, and I don't know if I'm going to or if I'm supposed to. So, I mean that. You could stop me if I'm going too long. Hebrews chapter 12, if you go to verse 5. I'm going to read 5 to 11. I'm going to read 5 to 11. I hope you brought your pajamas tonight. I won't keep you up late for another 3 months or any of my friends back there. The Royal Crown Bible Studies are going to start to end at 11 o'clock now, 10:30. Because I won't be there. And ye have forgotten, verse 5 to 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's the Apostle Paul quoting the book of Proverbs. And it says, if ye endure chastening, verse 7, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might... Why? Why? Do you see that? For our profit. For our profit. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, amen, but grievous. Nevertheless, see, I'm standing here 6 years removed from this chastening. So I'm living like that nevertheless right now as I speak. That's why I'm crying so much when I walk back here. Because I know where the Lord took me from. I know and I don't walk around with it all the time as a reality to my shame. But tonight he made it real to me of where he took me from. It says, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So it's afterward. So that is that. Part of it with the chastening of the Lord. I think this is probably where, even though I'm thoroughly convinced that the will of God for your life started in the womb of your mother. Nobody could talk me out of that at this point. See, God, I'll give you a short testimony out of order. When I was with Sal Galeotto and his family in 2012, I visited them for 3 weeks. It was the first time that I ever visited them by myself. And I had one night, it's actually probably the next night in order after the other one when the Lord hugged me in my room. It's nights that are special to me because he was there with me in that room that night. And just the prayers were going up and the word of God was hitting my heart and the tears were flowing, and the Lord Jesus Christ was right kneeling down right next to me on that bed, right with me. And that night, you know, just praying about what God has for me, praying about His will, praying about, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to see you do great things in my life, not in my life, like around me so that I see it with my eyes. I want to see you do great things in this generation. I want to see it, Lord. And so I just, the realization hit me that day, this is January 2012, that I can't be a blessing to anyone, in and of myself, obviously, but I can't be a blessing to anyone unless I find out why you created me. And I had this conversation with the Lord. And Pastor Dean always says this. He's probably said it from this pulpit, but he drove it home a couple times during Institute, that he says, you need to find out where you fit in this world. You need to find out where you fit. And you need to be what God wants you to be. Do you know how many times to this day, to a small degree, and do you know how many times I've looked up to pastors and preachers and striving in and of myself to become like them, where, you know, just their walk of faith and their prayer life and their knowledge of the scriptures and the way they expound upon the Bible, like, that's what I wanted. I wanted something like that. So, you know how many times I set my eyes on certain men of God around me and, you know, kind of like disappointed because I was never able. I'm like, I'm never going to be like them. I'm never going to get there. There's no way. I don't have enough time. And it's really, this night was the first night that, like, it kind of just settled in. I'm not supposed to be like anyone else. I'm not supposed to be like anyone else. I got to be me. And so I asked him that night, and I said, and it was the Spirit of God, because it wasn't my thought. Spirit of God, I started asking that night, Lord, on the day that I was born, when you saw me, what did you have in mind? What did you have in mind? What did you want to see? What was your plan? What were your thoughts? Obviously, he had to have some, no doubt about it, for every one of us. So that was the first time in my life that I ever prayed that way and just asked the Lord. And you know, you strive to be something, and it's just like, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you try and walk, and you fail, and you try and walk, and you fail. And that's going to happen no matter what. But it's going to happen a lot more if you're trying to be someone else, if you're trying to strive to be something that God never intended you to be, because he knows what he put under the hood. He knows what's inside of you. He made you. And if you would just seek to find out his will for your life, Lord, why did you make me? And say, I want to be that. You will find yourself being a blessing to the world around you in amazing ways, because you found where you fit. See, this is a body. We can't, if all were the eye, where were the hearing, the Bible says. And so you got to be you. It often, this conversation, I've been having a conversation with a lot of young believers just in literally in the last week. And I think that where I'm at after being saved for, you know, whatever, what is it? I can't even add right now, but what is it? 11 years? I don't even know, since 2002. I'm where I'm at now. But young believers, I think, were making the mistake of looking at me and saying, you know, they were kind of intimidated because it's like, oh, he's over the top. He's all in. He's this, he's that. And I started telling young believers recently and saying, you know what? Don't look at me. Don't let me discourage you, because you're not supposed to be like me. You're not supposed to be living the exact life that I'm living. Don't think that if you give your heart all to God and you put your heart on the altar and you say, God, here am I, send me. Don't think that God's going to pick you up and make you quit your job and make you fly to Sicily, because it's not going to happen. He's got something for you. So I told them, I said, you need to be you. You don't need to be me. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Whatever the will of God is for your life, you're going to be happy, happy, happy when you find it and when you do it. And it's not going to be what I do or what anyone else does, because we all got to find where we fit. And so that is, to me, the chastening of the Lord and then the will of God. And to me, that's the answer to happiness in life. Just find out what God wants you to do and then just do it. And it's never going to be too much because His grace is sufficient. If God would have forced this all upon me 5 years ago, you think I was ready for this? Absolutely not. But now, my heart's overflowing with joy and there's nothing more I'd rather do in the whole world. So it's just like, you're never going to be, you'll have some discomfort, absolutely. There'll be a cross, there'll be a denying yourself involved, but in measure, as you're able to handle it. So don't be afraid of that. Ask God to just show you, what do you want from me, Lord? I want to do that. And you have nothing to worry about because you'll end up loving it. It'll be the best decision you ever make in your life by praying that prayer. But I'm going to get into, I guess, now quickly, and I'll try and move quickly. How did He call me to Sicily? Why Sicily? Why Sal Galeotto? How did this happen? Why did this happen? You know, a lot of people looking at me and seeing what I just did with my job, that I just laid down my job, and just like to them, it just kind of came out of nowhere from the outside looking in. But now I want to try, by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, to give you a glimpse from the inside out, just to show what the Lord's done and how He's taken me to this point. Yes, 15 minutes, you got it. See, no, I wanted that, because I really had no idea. I'm going till 11 o'clock right now. All right, so long story short, I've said that already tonight, haven't I? Nothing's been long or short so far. That 4.5 years, the Lord chased me back to Himself. That chastening hit me at the end of September and the beginning of October 2007. And I'm literally 2007. I'm literally on my knees now on my brother's bathroom floor after the night that I slept at the foot of his bed. And I'm just crying my eyes out and praying to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me. You got to get me out of this. And He did answer that prayer and He did the impossible. But you know what thought came to my mind instantaneously? What about First Bible Church? Do you remember First Bible Church? He's like, it's Sunday, Stefano. It's 9:30. It's 9:45. And I'm like, I think I remember that their service starts at 10. And I just threw some water on my face and I just got in the car and I just drove. Now, I'd never been here on a Sunday morning. I only came to Wednesday night. It's my first time on a Sunday morning. And that was October 7th, 2007. You know the name of his message that he preached that morning? The First Day. You preached a message called The First Day. But the Lord drew me back to this church. Now, where does Sal Galeotto come in? Now, the first service, that's why I was crying when I came in, because that first service, I sat right in the back where some of my friends are sitting right back there, where my dad is sitting, and next to him was my sister-in-law, and next to him was my brother. I sat right there that first service. And I walked in, and I didn't know my brother and my sister-in-law were coming. And so I lost it. I already lost it in the car. I thought my tears were going to not have any more. But because I'm looking back now, and I'm saying, how faithful is God? I walked into this church crying. It was just the sound of your voices singing. Tears rolling down my face. I was like, wow, I'm home. I'm in the right place. I'm going to be okay. And the place where I sat alone for years, now my dad's there, and I saw my brother there tonight, and my sister-in-law, and friends, and co-workers back there. So it's just like, how faithful is God? How impossible is that? That psalm right there, that's right there. I don't know it. I haven't memorized it, but that psalm, I could look up there and just cry. It says, the end of it, my heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, I greatly rejoice at them. With my song will I praise Him. I can't believe that back there. So where's Sal Galeotto come in? That's October 7th, 2 weeks later. It's now my third Sunday in First Bible Church. Why the Lord chased me back exactly at that moment? Two Sundays later, October 21st, which is just a couple days ago, October 21st, 2007, 6 years almost to the day today, Sal Galeotto is visiting on furlough and preaches a message called Forgive, Forget, and Be Fruitful. You know what my problem was? You know what was keeping me down? Somebody had hurt me so bad, I had so much bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart that there's no way I could have kept going with that going on inside of me. And he's preaching, forgive, forget, and be fruitful. And what do I know at this time? I'm a babe, I don't know anything. That message was like, bam, like a laser beam right from him to me. And after the mess, it was like exactly what I needed. It was like the Lord gave me instructions from another man's mouth personally. This is exactly what you got to do, Stefan, to get on your feet. Forgive, forget, and then I'll make you fruitful. So after the service, I went outside. His trailer was parked out here. I knocked on the door, and his wife, Janet, answered the door. And I said, would I be able to talk, to Pastor Galeota? Would I be able to talk to your husband for a minute? And he came out. He was like chewing on a cannoli or an olive or something like that. And he came out and he talked to me. And we had a nice little conversation. Now, he doesn't know me from a hole in the wall. But do you know that the advice that I was like, I got to talk to that guy. That guy knows where I'm at. That guy's got the answer to whatever I need right now. I went after him after the service. I spoke to him out there one-on-one. The advice that he gave me, no man in this room or on this earth would have given me the advice. Now knowing Sal, the bluntness and the way he told me what I needed to do, no one in the world would have ever told me to do it that way. And I followed his advice. And it was exactly the recipe. So I don't run back into Sal again until 2010. But he's got such a special place in my heart because the Lord put him there right in the beginning. And he was the one that helped me get on my feet. So that's how Sal Galeota comes into the picture. Now, my aunt and uncle, they own a house in Villa Bata in Sicily. There's a great bakery named after it in 18th Avenue in Brooklyn. You can go there. They import their cannoli cream from Palermo. It's the closest you're going to get in America. And so they own a house there. And out of nowhere, 2010, I've never forgotten about Sal. He's always in the back of my mind and heart. And I pray for him and I'm thankful for him and I'm thankful for his message. My aunt and uncle at a family engagement, they say to me, hey, Stefano, would you want to come to Sicily with us this summer? Stay with us for a month? We're going for a month. Do you know why I said yes? Immediately you came to my mind. Sal came to my mind because I missed him. I wanted to see him again. I said, wow, with the hopes of maybe seeing this guy again. So I said, absolutely. That was I went the end of June. June 26th, I think I left 2010. Now, at that time, I'm best friends with Joe and Lisa Silvestri. See, the Lord, this plan is just brewing. Different points in my life, I've been close and spent a lot of time with different people in this room, not for any particular reason, but just the way that it worked out. So at this period of time, I happen to be really close with Joe and Lisa, and they find out I'm going to Sicily, and they go, you're going to Sicily? I said, yeah. They go, Joe tells me my dad's going to Sicily. I said, really? When's he going? He's like, he's going to 27. They're like, well, I'm going to 26th. He's going the day after me. I go, why is your dad going to Sicily? To stay with Brother Sal Galeota. So, and that's the only time, is that the only time your dad's been in Sicily? Joe? Second time? So he goes to Sicily the day after me, and now Joe says, he's coming over to the house for dinner, I'll invite you over, you guys could talk, get to know each other, exchange information, maybe you could hook up over there. So I get to Sicily now, and instead of me just being trapped in with nothing to do as far as the Lord's concerned, Joe ends up contacting me over there and says, hey, Stefano, where are you in Sicily? Oh, I'm over here. Now, Sal lived 2 hours away at the time. He said, well, Sal's got to drive right past you on the expressway. The house that my aunt owns is a minute off the expressway because he's got some business to do in a different part of Sicily because he was purchasing land in Palermo with the hopes of moving from Mazzara to Palermo one day and starting a work there in the main city. And so he's like, he's got to drive right past you. Would you want to come with us for like 5-6 days and be a part of the tent meeting? And I was just like, my God, what did I do to deserve this? Now, I couldn't have set all that up. I couldn't have planned that. I couldn't have done that. So the Lord, on two occasions now, put me and Sal together. They picked me up and I'm just like, I'm literally in heaven. I'm literally in heaven. Being with these people and now fellowshipping at a tent meeting, staying in South. Brother James Lasseter was there. It was like 5 other people there, 6 other people, all the missionaries. But because there were so many of us, I didn't really get to know Sal that well and his family that trip. But enough where, like, obviously, I was like, do you remember talking to me? I told him. He's like, very vaguely. He goes, I don't remember what we talked about. But, like, I just tried to let him know, like, you don't know how much of a blessing you've been in my life. You don't know what the Lord used you to do for me. So that's how that went. 2010, I got like 4 minutes left. That's 2010. But it's good though, because I asked the Lord to let me know what details to share, what not to share. So this is going to force me to just fly through it. That's 2010. Now, I don't see Sal in person again until January 2012. So that's, what, a year and a half later? But now we know each other well enough where now we're shooting emails back and forth to each other. I'm praying for you. He's praying for me. La, 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 la. And I can't tell you, he's just in my heart. The Lord won't let me forget about him. He won't let me forget. He won't let me forget. I can't. It's just like I got like a burden. Now, in 2010, the last night of the tent meeting, he allowed me to do what he calls a preachimony. And just to give a little testimony, a little preaching, whatever I wanted to say to the tent, to the people that were there, it was like a revival meeting, week long. And you know what? I was overwhelmed with the thought when I left there in 2010, and I believe this church needs to hear this. I tried to say this when I got back from that trip, and it never came out. And I believe the church needs to hear this. The burden that the Lord put on my heart, that Sal is a man, a mighty man of valor. He's a soldier of Jesus Christ. He's doing the work of the Lord there. If there's any doubt to him or his family's faithfulness, I've seen it personally with my own eyes. You know, like, don't have any doubts about it. And I see him there, and I see the work there, and I just see the multitudes, and I'm like, this guy needs help. This guy needs help. My heart was broken. My eye affected my heart. That's what I left them with. And I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to talk to my brethren at First Bible, because, like, we need to be a help to you guys over here. You need help. You know, you got one mighty man of valor, and, like, really no one around him helping him. He's just swinging away for past 20 years. And so it destroyed me inside. But the Lord wouldn't let me do anything about it. It was just, okay, that's fine. That's marinating in my heart now. Now, we're emailing back and forth. Eventually, we start Skyping back and forth. And now in 2012, Sal says to me, he's like, hey, brother, he goes, you know, my doors are always open here if you want to come and you want to visit. You could stay in my house, you know, no problem whatsoever. Why don't you pray about coming for a few weeks? So I started praying about it. And this, again, about the will of God. God spoke to me so clearly through the scriptures that he wanted me to go for these. I went for 3 weeks in 2012. I wouldn't buy a plane ticket. Of course, I wanted to do it all my heart, but I wouldn't do it unless God told me to do it in here. You can't. No matter how much of a burden you have to do something, don't do it unless you hear it directly from God's mouth, because the timing's probably wrong. So God gave me the liberty because he spoke to me out of this book clear as day, as if I heard him audibly. And so I bought a plane ticket. And 100% I know I'm right in the center of the will of God. I go in 2012 and I stay in his house for 3 weeks. Now me and him and his family are inseparable. Now it's like the closeness. You know, Pastor Dean always says, Pastor Mike always says, they talk about during Hurricane Sandy, how everybody was helping the people that lost things around here in Staten Island, and a bunch of just men just doing construction work in a basement, how the Lord just knits a couple men together. The Lord knit our hearts together, like, forget about it. So when I left, I cried the plane ride home. I didn't understand it. I still don't exactly understand it, but, like, why do I need to be around this man? Why do I need to be around his family and help him in his work? That's been a testimony of Pastor Dean as to why he came here to First Bible Church and moved from Ohio. Not because he had a burden for New Yorkers, because there were plenty of people in Ohio that needed to be saved. It's because he couldn't leave Mel. Him and his wife had knit together with Mel and Jean, and God knits people together, and that's how the ministry works. And so God has knit our hearts together. 2013 now. Now, of course, I'm praying and, like, I want to go back as soon as possible. I was suitcases walking down the stairs. I said, guys, they were having their first tent meeting ever in Palermo, right in the capital of Sicily. Over a million people in that city. And they said, it's this summer. Please, please come. I said, the only person who's going to stop me from coming to that tent meeting is God himself. God himself stopped me from going to that tent meeting. Wouldn't let me go. Wouldn't let me go. I wanted to go so badly. And wouldn't permit me to go. I'd be out of the will of God if I just became overzealous and said, I'm going to Sicily for this tent meeting. Wouldn't let me go. Did I like it? No. Did I understand it? No. Now, I just kept praying. The Lord confirmed to me that and told me to go for another trip February and March 2013. So now, this is the second time. It's just me and him and his family. And now it's like we're just bonding even more. But now, and both of these trips, I just bonded a lot with his church family too. with he's got a faithful, one faithful man now in Palermo, tremendously faithful. His name is Brother Chris. Pray for him. In 2012, when I met him, the church in Palermo just started in his house. It just, there was like 8 people gathered together in his kitchen. And all the people that were there were one Filipino family. It was this man, his wife, and his family members. So it kind of, the reason why they found a church is when Sal was street preaching in the piazza. This guy's like, wow, there's a Bible-believing church now in Palermo? There's a Bible-believing church now in Palermo? We've been praying for this for 7 years because he couldn't find a good church in Palermo. And so, and now today, just as of like a couple months ago, maybe even sooner than that, Brother Chris now is now the assistant pastor there in the church in Palermo. And Sal's here in the U.S. right now as we speak. He's in Ohio with Brother Joseph Estri and Karen. And this guy's taking care of the church down there. Loves the Lord, no doubt about it. Just tremendous, tremendous man of God. So I've gotten to know him, his church family. And this now, this trip in 2013, this time I went there praying. I had talked to Pastor Dean many nights in his office, just asking him for counsel. I went this time heavily prayed up because I'm like, Lord, what's going on with Sicily? Why do you keep drawing me back there? What's going on? All in one sentence, the Lord had stopped me from starting my life here in America. My dad could attest to that. That's probably what turns my mom off and my grandmother off, my family members off more to the gospel, because they see that, like, Stefano, why aren't you starting your life? Why aren't you going out there and making money and doing this and doing that? And, blah, blah, blah. And I just, God has constrained me, and I've had an understanding of it the whole time, to stay available, to not have my tent stakes in, because just I had this sense inside of me, like, Stefano, you don't understand it now, but just, he wouldn't let me, crazy things that I can't explain to you, that don't make any sense. He wouldn't let me, it's been in my heart to open up my own business, my own restaurant, since I'm 14. That's why me and Joe Generoso, that's why we're so close. Because we used to talk day and night and day and night and day and night about, you know, just business and opening up business together. So we're like this, me and him. It's always been my dream since I'm 14, but now the Lord got a hold of me. And long story short, the closest I ever came to open up a business, I went home and asked God. I said, God, this was May 20th, 2009. Do I open this restaurant or not? And he brought me to Acts chapter 20, and it was my regular reading, and it came to the verse, and it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So I wanted to open up a restaurant to feed bellies, and God says, no, I want you to feed my church. So that day I knew I was called, and I tried to keep myself available to be open to whatever God wanted to do in my life. And Sicily's just been in the back of my mind. So he stopped me from opening up businesses several times. He stopped me from partnering with Frankie and Joe, my bosses at Royal Crown. He stopped me from a year and a half ago. It was in, you know, my mind and being pressured from the outside to maybe buy a condo. So I have somewhere I'm not just renting in the building that I'm in with my dad. And I just had no peace about it. But financially, it makes so much sense. I had no peace about it. I'm just like, all right, God, you won't let me do this. You won't let me do that. 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 And a million other things that I can't even tell you about. So I'm like, what's going on here, Lord? What is happening? Why are you locking my hands and stopping me? I'm 27 years old. It's like, why are you stopping me? I got to start doing something. No. No, see, I didn't understand. Whatever, the Lord has kept me available so that I went there after talking to Pastor Dean. He's like, Stefano, whatever God's trying to tell you about Sicily, he's not going to be able to tell you here. You've got to make another trip. You have to. You have to. You have to. So I prayed about it. And as soon as the Lord gave me permission to buy that plane ticket, I bought it again. So I went February of this year. But now this time, I'm almost done. This time, I went there praying hard and heavy, where I literally cried myself to sleep every single solitary night, asking the Lord, why am I here, Lord? What's going on, Lord? I just want to be a blessing in my life. What's this all about? My car lease was up in March. The Lord had me extend that. I was going to buy a car. He's like, no, extend your car lease 6 months. Buy me some more time, the Lord was telling me. I bought him some more time. Do you know that by the time that car lease was up, I'm getting ahead of myself. I prayed every single night there, and I asked the Lord, the same way Solomon answered every single question the Queen of Sheba had when the Queen of Sheba came to him. I said, Lord, I got questions, and I'm not leaving Sicily unless you give me answers. You need to know why. I need to know why you're not letting me do things in my life. And the very last night, the absolute last night, my bags were packed. He told me from the scriptures, it's because you're coming back here. You can't have all those things right now because you're coming back here. You wouldn't be available. If I opened up a business, I wouldn't be going to Sicily right now for 3 months. If I did any of those things I mentioned, I wouldn't be going. And I told Sal, Pastor Dean advised me very straightly that I need to now be open with Sal, because I wasn't open with him. The Lord was doing all these things inside of me, but now I was going to be open with him. He said, before you leave, be honest with the brother. Tell him what's on your heart. And so the whole way to the airport that morning, and at the airport, I just revealed my heart to him, and it was just like a really moving moment. He literally almost made me miss my plane because he wanted to go have an espresso with me. You know, just like, because he was so excited about it. I said, Sal, I heard from the Lord loud and clear. That's why I came here this time. I said, I'm not saying I'm moving here full time. I'm going to be living my life in Sicily. I'm not saying that. But I said, Sal, the next time you see my face, the next time I come here, I'm coming for longer. I'm not coming for weeks. I have to come for like a significant period of time next time. The Lord's been clear about that. So that's how it was in my heart to do 6 months. When I asked Sal about it, he said, let Caesar decide. They will only give me a 90-day visa right now. So that's 3 months. So that, in a nutshell, is how, why Sal Galeotto, why he brought me to this point. And that's really it. That's how I know that I knew, yes, that I'm going to Sicily when I left that airport and cried again on the way home. I knew that I was coming back for a longer period of time, but I didn't know how and I didn't know when. And the Lord, from March 5th when I left, until now, the Lord wouldn't let me put my hands on. He wouldn't let me do it. Don't you dare rush. Don't you do anything. And it was tempting because I'm like, wow, you tell me to do something and now you won't let me do it. And I'm just like, now question mark. When, Lord? When? Be specific. When? He told me finally, July 31st, when Maurice was preaching from this pulpit, and something that Maurice said, it's in Luke chapter 14, and basically, it's a parable that Jesus said. And in July 31st, finally, it says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. Come, Stefano. Come. I'm sitting right there. Come. From Maurice's mouth. He doesn't know. He didn't know what was going on. Come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. And now, a little bit. These little Bible studies I have with my coworkers, these Royal Crown Bible studies, 100% glory to God, absolutely nothing. You know why they're started? They didn't start because of my witness or this or that. They started when I was brokenhearted. I would take little prayer cards that Jason Mancini gave me, blank index cards, and I would just pray for my coworkers all day long. I'd write their names down. I'd say, Lord, you could do anything. You could do the impossible. Lord, save every single solitary one of my coworkers. Lord, you could do it. And in all of 2007, 2008, that's all I did. Before I ever opened my mouth and said anything to anyone about Jesus Christ. And that my life didn't reflect it, so they wouldn't have listened to me anyway. So everything that's happened at Royal Crown has been of God and His faithfulness and prayer. That's it, not Stefano. God's faithfulness to prayer. And His mercy that He would even deal with me. Now, what's been the holdup? Now, I didn't want to leave here and go to Sicily until all these young believers who started believing, my friends who's gotten saved, my family members who have gotten saved. David didn't leave his father to go to Goliath with his brothers unless he left the sheep there with the keeper. And the Lord convicted me and said, you're not going anywhere until you have a keeper. And so I have watched since March 5th this year to now, to today, the Lord has totally taken care of these Royal Crown Bible studies where there's other young men and women in this church that have become a part of them over all these months. And now they're stronger than ever. They're going on Monday nights. They're going on Tuesday nights. And they're going to continue to go on in my absence. So if I went to Sicily any sooner than this Friday, he keeps saying Thursday, it's Friday. If I go to Sicily any sooner than October 25th, everything falls apart here. See, the Lord was doing His work, putting people in place, and now I'm leaving, and it's just like, Gina's sitting in the back. Some of you know, some of you don't. The Lord raised her up, saved her, made her like-minded. She's excited about the things of God. She's literally taking my place at Royal Crown. She has my exact schedule. She's Joe Generoso's cousin. Just the Lord worked in her life to make her available so that I'm stepping out and she's stepping in and I'm stepping out of the studies and they're stepping in and I'm leaving and everything goes on as normal. And there's still a light in Royal Crown. And she talks about the Lord to Joe Generoso all the time now from within his own family. He's so mad at me. But it's not me, it's the Lord. He's got to be mad at the Lord. And so do you see how come for all things are now ready? I didn't understand it. Be patient with the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You don't have to understand everything the step of the way, but God knows what He's doing. He's an amazingly skillful shepherd. And He knows what He's doing. Now, why October 25th? Sal Galeotto is here with his wife right now, and they're flying back. So not only am I going to Sicily, I'm literally, I was able to get a plane seat. I'm going to be on the same plane as them, and we're flying back together. They dropped off their son Giacomo to live in Ohio for a year, to do whatever the Lord's going to have him to do in his life. And the Lord convicted me and says, Stefano, I'm like, when, Lord? He's like, October 25th, when you know Sal and Janet are flying back, because you're not letting them fly home empty. They lost a big part of their workload over there, their workforce. They're dropping off Giacomo. You're taking his place. Get your butt over to Sicily. So that's how this all happened. And I really am out of time, so I'm just going to stop and pray. But what can I say? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? What can I say other than just praise His name and thank Him? And I love everyone in this room very much. And I just want to thank the Lord for all of you. I really love you. I'm going to miss you. This really is a church family. You guys are not just members of the church I go to. This is my family in this room. This is my friends in this room. This is my beloved in this room. My Jonathans are in this room. So just know that you guys have absolutely changed my life. Everyone in this room changed my life. You guys taught me how to love God. You guys have taught me the scriptures. You guys have got me on my feet. And without this church, I wouldn't be here. So not any man gets glory, but I owe you a thank you, and it's right to give. The Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. And so I owe a big honor and a thank you to this church and everyone in it. So thank you, and I love you guys, and that's it. I just want to thank the Lord for having this all come out also, because my thoughts were all over the place, and the Lord really, from my heart to yours tonight, I believe, said exactly as if the Spirit of God was speaking and saying to this church tonight. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I was so nervous, but the Lord got the point across tonight. And glory to God. And thank you guys. And I'll pray, okay? Father, I can't say thank you enough. I don't know what to say right now.